You know, we're living in a time and age where the seasons go by very quickly. Like the preacher said in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. We have snow today. Well, they're calling for sunshine tomorrow. And, we look at the seasons. We look at the days. We look at the times we get up, the times we go back to bed. And we look at God's word, which never changes. Amen. It never changes. Still the same yesterday. Yes. Same today. Yes, it is. And yes, by faith, it will be the same tomorrow. So we're looking here in John's gospel. And we have to keep in mind here in John chapter 5 that, but these things were written in John chapter 20, verse 31. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, believing you might have life through his name. You know, we are justified through faith. Abraham was justified by faith. We are justified by faith every day that God gives us the gift of life. And so looking at John chapter 5, continuing what we looked at last week, we had a man that was crippled for 38 years. There are people today that have been born deformed or have had mental issues, that people who I really pity, and my heart really goes out to those who do not have a normal life. Well, Jesus saw this man, and he saw us too before we were saved, before we had a normal life, if we want to call it that. I call it the greatest gift that God could ever give me or you or those who are online is salvation. And the least of all, we don't deserve it. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. Thank God this morning we're here not to be entertained. We're here to worship God in spirit and truth. That's what this church is all about. And I do pray for other pastors and other churches around this community every day. I pray, Lord, pray that they preach the gospel. Pray that people will get saved. Your work will go on in this church and all the churches around the world because it's your church and you're the head and we're the body. And what does the body do? It listens to what the head dictates. So Jesus looked upon this crippled man, been there for 38 years, and he came to him twice. The first time he said to him, do you need to be basically healed? I'm paraphrasing it. And of course, the man was like, yes, I would like to get healed. And what did Jesus do? Jesus healed him. He says, get up and walk. And by faith, every day we get up and we walk by faith. We trust the Lord. Or some of us are not fortunate to walk. We push on by faith. We have wheelchairs. We have canes. We have other things. And there are other ways that we might be a little bit handicapped. You might be getting old today. Well, that's okay, because that's in God's hand too. He's going to take care of that. He takes care of everything. And then what did Jesus do the second time he met this man later on? He told him, he says, your faith has made you whole. Now make sure that you don't sin again. And of course, what happened was this man had committed a sin. I used the illustration, nobody really knows, if he could have been went out and stole something and slipped and fell and became crippled. I don't know. But we do know this one thing today, my dear brother, is that we reap what we sow. And we can reap unto good things or bad things. And so this man decided, you know what, I've got to go tell somebody. And the somebody's, it's amazing. The people on the porch, there were hundreds of people there gathered, and no one talked to him about it except the Jewish leaders. And unfortunately, that's what happens when the devil gets in the mix of things there. He causes confusion, doubt, and he causes judgment. And these people are full of judgment. And they came to him and they said, who did this? Anyway, this is the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest. Rest. And they're saying, you can't pick up your bed. First of all, you can't even be healed. And second of all, you can't pick up your bed. And third of all, we want to know who did it. Well, first of all, the man didn't know who it was. Second time he met with Jesus, we looked at last week, he said it was Jesus. And of course, oh, they were so angry. Why? Because they had a system. It's called a system of control. And today we have people who in our government, we need to pray for them, is that they want to control us. And thank God for the fresh outdoors and times that we can have the freedom just to say, nobody can tell me what to do. Of course, as Christians, it's called liberty. We have the liberty, what? Not to sin, but to exercise our freedom in Jesus Christ. And we do that by the grace and mercies of God. Some countries today, they have to ask before they can just about do anything in their lives and make sure it's a check and a balance with the government. We need to pray for our government. But what happened was is that the religious leaders lost control. And you know, you ever been around angry people? You get the people with the extreme and they get violent. And they start hitting things and they start hurting people because they know they've been hurt. And some people, for all the wrong reasons, they get hurt and they want to kill people, murderers, people with that. It all starts with anger. So let me go on here. So this man had been healed. Thank God for that. And you have this man went and told the religious leaders. And now they're very angry at Jesus. You have the control mechanism that they have over the people is falling apart. This Messiah, this prophet, this master, this teacher has now come and he's doing things and he's disrupting their system. So this morning we're going to look at the five claims of Jesus. Oh, there are many claims that Jesus made. We're going to look here at number one is that Jesus claimed his equality with God in his person. So he's 100% God, he's 100% man, and it's amazing because when I just talked about with the rest, with the Sabbath, you have to remember this is right after this man was healed, right after these religious people were like, okay, we're angry, we're mad, we're out to kill him because he's disrupting everything, you got more people following him than us, and on and on and on. And when it comes down to the Sabbath, in Isaiah 40:28, it says this. In Isaiah 40:28, it goes, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he worthy? There is no searching of his understanding." So, with God, he can rest, but he doesn't have to because you know, he created everything in 6 days. The seventh day he rested. What people don't realize is that the Sabbath was made for man, not for God. It says here in Mark 2:27-28, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man. That's Jesus speaking to his disciples and the people. And not the man for the Sabbath. Verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So it was made for us to rest. And so seeing that what had happened, Jesus is claiming that he's God. That both my Father and I work together. And what people don't realize is that Jesus is making himself equal to God. And this is where the problems start. You look at this passage and you say to yourself, okay, so he does. We know that, but do you realize cults use this passage also as well? They're saying, let's take for example, okay, so Jesus needs to go to the Father for everything. We talked about this in Sunday school. It's kind of sad, but they have a different Bible, these cults do. And they take away from the deity of Christ, the incarnate Christ. Christ was made, what? God in the flesh. They don't believe that. And you have people like what happened there in Waco, Texas back in 1993, David Koresh, who believed that, you know, he was Jesus. After a while, he turned out at first to be okay, and then he became more and more about himself, and he became crazed. And unfortunately, things went to worse there in Waco, Texas in 1993. And so you have people who have the form of godliness, but they deny the power, knowing that the word in the word of God is truth. And it's from the word that we have our salvation through his spirit. So in verse 18, it says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. You know, when somebody says that they're equal with God, that's exactly what they mean. And, you know, when I grew up, I remember growing up in the hippie movement, and you had these ridiculous plays put on, such as Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell. You know, at first I wasn't saved, but I thought, you know, I liked the rhythm. I liked the music. I thought that was kind of neat. And then I realized, you know what? When I got saved, I thought, oh, okay, this doctrine's all kinds of wrong. The teaching's all kinds of wrong. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. I'm not here to judge any church. I pray for the pastors, like I said earlier. But when I want to get to know a church, I want to understand what their doctrine is. And I have met pastors in the past that get very belligerent with me when I talk to them about doctrine. The very fundamentals, you know. And when you start getting into where it becomes a dividing line between who Jesus Christ is and who he isn't. And it's all about his deity. It all centers on Christ. And, you know, like, for example, we don't believe when we give communion that the actual wafer turns into the body of Christ. We don't believe that when we're taking the Lord's Supper, that the juice that we take actually turns into the blood of Christ. We don't believe that Christ is being sacrificed over and over and over again upon every Sunday that we come together. So there is a big difference. And Christ fulfilled what he did. Now, let's look at this here. So he's making himself, number one, equal with God. Number two, in verses 19 and 20, we look at his works. At his works. Then said, answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily. Now understand that word verily, verily means truly, truly. It means that it is the epitome of truth. It is, you can't say it any deeper than that in the original language. You know, we try to be true to ourselves and true to one another. Well, you know, how I can check myself out with God is with my conscience. Am I being true to my brothers and sisters? Am I being true to people I meet every day? Am I being true to myself? And Jesus is saying he is the author of truth. And thank God that he is. Because today we have many lies, many deceptions, much evil going around today in many places. And especially in our politics. It just amazes me. Oh, it just amazes me. And it says here, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what these things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. So he's doing exactly what his Father tells him to do. The point is when Jesus started in his ministry, he was doing what the Father would tell him to do, his point of ministry. I'm going to make a case in point here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in every name Jesus and every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So there he was. He made himself equal, but he became a servant. And so it was important to know that all the works that he did was what? To glorify his Father. Today, brethren, we have works to do for the Lord. And I know everyone here today, some I know, some I don't know, but I know you work hard. You work hard to give glory to Jesus. The ends mean whatever we say, do, or eat, or drink, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, we do it for the glory of God. The song this morning, the special this morning, the songs this morning was to glorify God, to lift him up. How peaceful, how remnant was that song. I felt at peace and I felt like, okay, we're done. We're good enough. I can go home now. I had peace. I had rest. And I'm asking us today, are we keeping that rest and peace during the week? It's been very hard for many of us, I'm sure. Like we looked in Sunday school today, you know, one of the points of Hebrews is that we will enter into his rest. And the problem was with the Israelites, they weren't. They weren't entering to their rest. And they were kept on going back looking at Egypt. And this world is passing away. And I see people just running to it. There are people today that have taken the world like this. And, you know, they're not, and you can look at it two ways. One, they're grabbing it and they're running with it. Or two, they're taking it and they're giving it back to God, saying, Lord, it's all yours. Everything from head to toe, everything that I have, it's all yours. To glorify you. So in all his works, that's what Jesus did, was to glorify him. You remember what happened with Nicodemus, with the woman at the well. They asked those three basic questions, both of them did. And they both got their answers. And thank God that when God does a work in us, he does it the right way the first time. My dad told me that all the time. He says, when you do a job, do it right the first time. So there he was. Christ was doing what he was told. Thirdly, we see here that in verse 20, it says, for the Father loveth the Son. I'm going to stop here for a minute because the idea is the word is filio, and has the strongest love that you have for somebody else. And it has the idea of brotherly love. And so this is the only time that this word love is used in the New Testament here with between God the Father and God the Son. Has the idea here for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all the things that himself doeth. And remember, it does not mean he makes him less. It's talking about Jesus Christ is in the flesh. And he is still 100% God, but he's become subservient. He is walking as the Son of Man to mankind. Doesn't make him less of a God because he's all God to us. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. So Jesus is telling, he's having a discourse here. He's having a teaching moment with those that are around him. And remember, they are not of the most favorable kind. They're the type that want to kill him, that are out him to get him. And Jesus, through his love, is telling the truth. And, you know, how many times have we got to tell people the truth? Because even sometimes telling the truth hurts. And sometimes it's the best way. That kind of hurt is a building up love. A critical love can either you can tear down somebody being critical or you can build them back up. And he was telling them that I am, you know, the great I am. So there were going to be greater things that he would do, as we would see what he had already done with the cripple and also with the nobleman's son. He healed 24 hours. Actually, by the time that nobleman came back home, His son was healed, but Jesus told him 24 hours earlier at that time that he would be healed, and the nobleman's son was healed. God is in the healing business. As I said before, it's not the circus that we have today in some churches with the faith healing and on and on. I mean, that's another subject there. But we believe by faith that God does heal people. And some people may not be healed physically. Some people may be in the hospitals and end up dying. Well, you know what? We believe by faith that God can do whatever he wants. And some of our loved ones are there right now, and we're doing the best for them because we love them. And we do unto others as they do unto us. So, and then we see here that Jesus says, don't marvel at this. And we see here in verse 21, thirdly, is he sovereign and he has power. For the as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, it's amazing. You have two types of resurrections. You have one that will, those that will be raised for life eternal. And you have the other resurrection for those who will be raised for unto damnation, for judgment, condemnation. But thank God there is there, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Romans 8:1. So you have that Jesus is referring to the resurrection. Remember, he is the resurrection. And remember, our faith without Jesus has no resurrection. And thank God, you know, people talk about Easter, but I really wonder about in Palm Sunday. And I really think about people get all ready for it. Already you have Easter eggs out there and bunnies in some people's windows, and people are all excited about, you know, St. Paddy's Day coming up on the 19th. There's nothing wrong with holidays, but when it comes to relationship with Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, wouldn't it be nice if people really knew about us instead of just looking at us on the face cover and walking away? Wouldn't it be better if they really got to know us? And, you know, life would be different for all of us if we got to know each other better. And God wants us to do the same with him. So much so. And so it was that, you know, he is all sovereign and all powerful. And without that resurrection, we'd be most miserable because we'd be just playing the same violin, the same flute as we've always done. I've seen people out today just going through the same business day after day, no change spiritually. And they've taken the world and they've held on to it, and they've been deceived. Verse 22 says, and the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to his Son. Verse 22, the fourth part, he's given judgment to the Son, so that everything that happens under the Son, Jesus will be either our judge, that was the judge on the cross, he was judged on the cross for our sins, or he will be that judge, that judgment for people where Christ said in Matthew 7:23, he says, you know what, I never knew you. And remember in that portion, he's saying, oh, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that in your name, Lord? And Jesus says, I never knew you. That's why I say today, by the authority only invested in me by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, make sure that you're saved. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. John 5:13. But you know what? Somebody said to me, well, you know, some days, and I asked, actually this past week, somebody said to me, he says, you know, I really don't know if some days if I'm saved or not, Pastor. And I said, well, you know, that's a very good indication there, because it shows you how much of a sinner you are and how much we need the grace of God. And I believe that you are saved. And of course, and I went on to say, you know what? It's not for me to judge. It's between you and God. But, you know, God has saved wretched sinners like you and I because why? Because he loves us. He loves us. And thank God, however we present it, it's still the same with him. You know, and it can be a wonderful thing to know Christ as your Savior if you're not. And then he will also be our judge. In Deuteronomy 32:39, God is in control of everything. It states this in 32:39. It says, "See now that I, even I, am he, that there is no God with me." It's talking about God Almighty. "And I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." God is saying through his authority and through his word to Moses and to people at his time and the Israelites, "I am in control." And you know, that should bring the biggest peace and rest that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, when somebody told me this past week as well, gave a little counseling, and they said, "You know what? I thank you for your prayers and for the church's prayers, because I had such a, as she put it, a rush of peace and a blessing and a rest." She goes, "Because I was just hurting and I was worried, and I have a family and a husband, and it's terrible. But for some reason, I have a peace and a rest that passes all understanding." And I was like, praise God. Praise God. Because we experienced that this week, haven't we? You know? And our loved ones, our little ones, and our, you know, big ones too, that we have in our families. We love them all the bits. And God is always there for us at these times. So, verse 23 in John chapter 5, we see in 23 and 24, we see the fifth area that he is equal with God in honor. And, you know, give people honor who honor is due. And Christ Jesus is given by us all honor and glory. It says here in verse 23 that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." You know, the Jewish mindset, look, the Jews hated idolatry. They worshiped that temple more than anything else. So in a sense, remember, they used to swear upon the temple. They would swear on different things. And, of course, Jesus was saying, you know, "Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays." You shouldn't be swearing. And so Jesus is making himself equal with God here. And you look at Jesus, and we, you know, one person may say, "You know, I really don't believe that Jesus is God. I don't believe he's Savior of the world. I don't understand it." Well, I believe that God speaks to us. He spoke to me over 40 years ago when I accepted Christ as my Savior, who he was. And he did the same thing to people throughout the New Testament that came to know him. And he even spoke to his disciples. Remember in earlier in John, remember his disciples? Christ would call out to them. They understood who he was. And Peter and John and the other disciples. And what did they do? They stopped with what they did and they followed him. And God wants us to follow him today. You know? I think today people are so swindled. People are so easily persuaded. I've seen people persuaded by the weather. I have to watch it myself. I've seen people persuaded by what other people say. What I'm trying to say here this morning is we should be persuaded by God in all things. And we should give him the honor and the glory. Again, verse 24, it says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I remember hearing that for the very first time, and I remember it making all sense to me. And I was just so thrilled, very thankful. And I know we're very thankful for our salvation today. You know, and I love what it says here in the latter part of the verse, "and shall not come unto condemnation," that means judgment, "but is passed from death unto life." You know, Our salvation is not a intellectual faith. It's, you know, you can go to any church you want, and you can hear whatever you want to hear, and you can make, we can make our own choices, right? And many of us do. We learn and we hear from people on the TV, the radio station. We hear all that. But really what it lines up with is the Word of God. We have to make sure that it honors God. Is our spirit checking with their spirit? And it just doesn't go for today. It goes on for a lifetime. And who knows where we're going to be, you know, 20 years from now. Who knows, you know? But what's beautiful about it is that we can trust Him. We can obey Him. We can rely on Him. And we can cling to the Lord with all our life. We can cling on to Him. Because as we looked at last week, there are different ways that people were healed. And one of the ways is, remember Peter walking by with his shadow and people were getting healed from that. And other people clinging on to Jesus' clothes. And other people actually touched the sweatband of the Apostle Paul. There are some different things out there you got to check out in the Bible for your own. But our healing comes with accepting by faith today. You know, the apostolic era is going. We have the written word of God here today. And it's by faith we believe upon it. And we trust it with our lives. We do. The ones that I know here this morning, you do. If it came down to the being arrested for your faith, you'd be like, what have I got to lose? Go ahead and arrest me. You know, there were people in Jeremiah's time. We're looking at Wednesday night, and God's judgment is on, we're looking at Egypt. And, you know, they didn't even have enough time. And in Palestine, too, they didn't have time from the Babylonian armies coming down. They came with such a rush. All they could hear are the horses' hoofs and the chariots and the great thunder. They didn't even have time to grab their own children. And I really believe here in the United States, and I said this Wednesday night, I really believe this, people aren't prepared for what's going to happen to this country if we keep on going down. Because we used to be way up here, and God we trust. Remember Dwight Eisenhower signed that back in 1956. And God we trust. And, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. He signed that all into law, made that law. And what happened was is that we've gone so far from that. And we're going very fast as a nation going downhill. But you know what? We have Jesus. And that's good enough for me. It's good enough for all of you here this morning. And no matter what happens to this country, and I told people too, I think for God in His prophetic plan, I think the United States is going to go by the wayside. I really do. I really do. For Him to fulfill what He has to do. He may keep the United States around for a while, but I think for, you know, the only thing that's holding back for Israel to be attacked, and I'm no prophetic teacher, let me tell you, is the United States needs to dissipate, get out of the way, because you have China and you have Russia, and they want to make the United States more communistic, socialism as they call it. If they can figure out, then they can have the one world government, and you know, and on and on. And you know, it's not equality or equity, excuse me, where this is Jesus makes Himself equal with God. Equity means, oh, I'm going to go ahead. And we're going to line everybody. It's like lining everybody up in this room. And this is like in the communistic manifesto. We're going to line everybody up, sell everything that everybody has, and we're going to distribute it, all that we have, to everybody here equally. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked since 1917 or so, when, you know, Russia was overthrown by those leaders from the communistic revolution. Didn't happen with Mao in China in 1947 or so, when the communists took over there. It's not going to work here. They don't realize that it doesn't work. Communism doesn't work. But the Bible works our nation was founded on the Bible, and I'd rather have that any day. Don't want to get political, but Jesus had to deal with politicians. Paul had to deal with politicians. We have to deal with politicians today. And but Jesus is making himself equal, and thank God for that. And he should be made equal in our lives too. And less of ourselves, more of him. That's good enough for us. So what Jesus is saying here is that he is all he is meant to be, and that's God. So let us this week, let me encourage you this week to remember that the biggest enemy, as I've said before, is ourselves. Biggest enemy to me is myself. And I've got to take me out of the way and let God rule and reign in my life. And I pray that's a prayer for all of you this week too. And every week until God either comes back for his church or he calls us all home. So let us close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for history lessons. We thank you, Lord, that humanism has no place in your word. Communism has no place in your word. The cults have no place in your word. You are in the word, and you set us free, and you teach us. And we thank you that we can be set free and enjoy the joy of the Lord. And Lord, as far as we're concerned, for we in our house, in this church, and are in our homes and our houses, we will serve the Lord like it says in Nehemiah, Lord. God, we ask you, Lord, that we'll continue to rightly divide your word, Lord, to study your word, to show ourselves approved, and to be a blessing to ourselves and to one another this week. And Lord, we need your grace. We need your strength. We need your wisdom. We all have issues and problems, but we have many blessings. But Lord, we need to know what path to take in the straight and narrow. And watch out for those broad ways that lead us to destruction. Lord, we thank you for your gospel, the good news, and pray that we will have a blessing this week and continuing every day as we take one step further home to be home with you. And there's no place like it. And pray for those who don't know you, last thing I'll say, as Savior, your time's running out. There's not much time. Each one of us has time. Make sure you know whom you choose today to serve, either yourself or God, because there's no middle ground. And we just thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Thank you for Jesus, for you dying on the cross. Thank you that you rose again. And thank you, Lord, that our sins have been forgiven. And we thank you for the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.